1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The book is entitled Keeping the Muslim in America Happy. The author is Dr. Robert Greene. He joins us on our newsmaker line. Pardon me. He joins us on our newsmaker line right now, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. And Dr. Greene, it's always good to have you on the program. Welcome back. Dr. Greene, you there?
Yes, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Tell us about this is a tough time for the country. Obviously, we've seen instances where Arab American people of the Islamic faith have suffered harassment, and it's time for us to grow up as a country, isn't it?
Absolutely, Phil. It's very important in light, I think, of the recent events that many of our Arab friends have suffered, Arab American friends, that we keep the people of Islam happy and not upset them anymore, in fear that you could drive them, what I call, over to the other side.
And I noticed that in your, but what does it mean, driving them over to the other side? Like in favor of bin Laden?
No. What happens is that we saw this recently with African Americans. When you begin to alienate people, they do a very interesting thing, Phil. They start looking for what they call their roots. And what does that mean when they look for their roots? Well, if you look at the 1960s, the civil rights movement did a lot, I think, toward helping the African American get dignity and begin to fit into the mainstream of America. Then comes the 70s, and a movie came out called Roots. Do you remember it, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Now, all of a sudden, everybody wants to wear a dashiki or listen to drum music or something like that. See? So do you see the difference?
The difference?
The difference is that, on the one hand, the civil rights movement helped them try to get into the mainstream of America, but then Roots came out. Now they all want to go back to Africa and look for their roots. And now you got the drum music. And I think the same thing could happen with Muslims in America or Arab Americans. If you bother them too much or you're unfair or unjust, now they want to go look for their roots. I don't know what that may be in the case of a Muslim, you know, flying carpets or whatever you want to say, but they're looking.
Well, I don't think it's as simplistic as that.
No, and I don't either, but I'm saying in order for that not to happen, I think we need to treat people a lot better.
So in order to keep them happy, as your book has stated, we need to do what?
Well, avoid offending them. And again, this falls on women. Millions of American women come out of the shower every day with a towel wrapped around their heads in the manner of the mujahideen or the Muslim elder.
Now, how do you figure? They're not doing that on purpose. The women who come out of the shower with a towel wrapped around their head are not doing that on purpose.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
Well, it may or may not be, but what our book helps do is let them know better. Women shower and wrap their heads with towels the way Muslims do. It is offensive to the Muslim because that's a sacred thing.
All right, so you can tell me without fear of anybody going against you that a woman coming out of the shower wearing a towel on her head is offensive to the Muslim people. And you say that is sort of a sacred thing?
Well, it's not. I can tell you the wrapping of a bath towel in a circular bottom-to-top motion. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, so when I come out of the shower, or my wife comes out of the shower, wraps the towel around her head from bottom to top.
That is, that creates an almost identical style turban to the ones Muslims wear, and that offends them. Now, we most recently had a problem at a downtown athletic club in Seattle in the women's locker room. Some women had showered and wrapped the towel around their heads, and some of the Muslim women who had been in a step class saw this, and that the women, they thought that the women were making fun of their men. See, only the men wear the turbans. Women are not allowed to do so because it's considered blasphemy.
So this has religious and social overtones.
American women are offending our Muslim brothers and sisters with a towel on the head, right?
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. It's not the first time we've heard about women coming out of the shower with a towel innocently piled on top of the head. It could be offensive. And you're talking about if we keep offending Muslims, we keep offending anybody of an ethnic minority, whatever, they go looking for their roots, and that's dangerous.
Right. The only reason why you don't want to offend anybody, whether it be Muslim, African American, anybody, they'll go looking for their roots. And when they go looking for their roots, oh, man, Katie, bar the door. Now they want to, you know, start smoking a hookah or whatever they do, and that's, You don't want that.
Well, why don't you want that?
Huh?
Why don't you want that? Why can't we celebrate culture?
It's a tricky deal. Culture's fine. I would say, though, that it begins to kind of draw people away from the mainstream American culture. And now they're not going to ball games, and they're not going to movies. Now they're sitting around, and they're eating food with their hands, sucking a hookah. You know what I'm saying.
So, well, I know what you're saying. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. I would say don't taunt and don't offend Arabs or Muslims or anybody, because we want to keep good relations with them.
Yeah, that's true, too. But this roots thing, I want to tell you.
All right, so in your book, you start off by saying the women piling the towel on their head.
See, that's just it. I don't know if it's intentional or not. They might be doing it on purpose.
Well, we've got an explosive situation in this country. I don't know why anybody would purposefully taunt a Muslim or Arab American by piling a towel on their head after a shower.
It may be because women don't traditionally serve in the armed forces, and in any great number. And as a result, they're trying to do their part by drawing them out, by offending them. Let me just say to American women, you're not helping. You're hurting your country. You're offending your Muslim brothers and sisters, and if I may say so, you could use a blow dryer and do the job much quicker.
So Keeping the Muslims in America Happy, your latest book, gives advice, you say on the book jacket, quote, on how not to bug Muslims, end quote. Mr. Green, isn't it true that you started work on this book September the 12th?
Well, it was an ongoing project.
Yeah, but isn't it true that you started this book work on this book September the 12th, the day after the attacks?
Well, look.
And you bang this thing out opportunistically.
You know, you don't know me well enough to talk to me like this.
Well, isn't it an opportunistic and exploitive book, sir?
No, sir, it is not. It's a book that will help Americans and Arabs and Muslims eat in the same restaurants, live on the same street, and yes, eventually even date each other without fear that someone's going to get their underwear in a bunch. That's why we wrote the book.
Well, I find some of the lingo in the book jacket, How Not to Bug Muslims. 1-800-449-8686. Evie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this man.
If
they don't like us wrapping towels on our heads, they need to go. This is America.
I am married
to a Muslim man, and I've never heard such ridiculous statement in my life.
You're married to a Muslim man?
Yes, sir.
Does he practice the Muslim religion?
Yes, he does.
Well,
I have never heard such a thing.
Well, he is married to you, Evie, and he's used to seeing you in the house. He knows what your intentions are.
He watches TV.
Most women...
Okay, Evie, somebody's calling the CIA. They're jamming your line, Evie, I think is what's happening. Evie, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, somebody was either trying to...
See, that's probably your husband pissed off at you.
No, husband's not here.
Well, who's on the other line?
Are you Muslim?
No, ma'am, I'm not. I'm simply saying I defend the Muslim people of this country.
I defend the Arab Americans.
That,
I don't find that offensive in the least.
No, you're not Muslim. How would you find that offensive?
My husband is. And he tells me what is offensive and what is not.
He knows what your intentions are.
Before he's Muslim, he's American. Before he's Muslim, he's
Most
American.
Most of these Muslims will
he
go...
He is American.
All right, he's an American. Good.
I am Catholic, but I am American. I am American, and I have to respect the other people's...
Wait a second. Your husband's African American, isn't he?
No, he is not African American.
What is he?
He is from Africa, but he's from North Africa, Morocco.
Now I get it.
And he's white.
What do you mean, now you get it?
He comes from Africa. All of the blacks in America became Muslims.
He's not black. You said he's from Morocco. He's a white man. Is that right, Evie?
He's white. He is white.
He comes from Africa and he's white.
Yes, sir.
That means you're so ignorant, you don't know what you're talking about. You sure don't know your continent.
No, sir.
Everybody knows.
So many races over there.
There are a lot of white folks in Africa, okay?
Africa.
And the Berber people from, I believe it's Morocco.
Exactly.
The Berber people.
Arabs and we have Berbers
The
in Africa,
Berbers are white people, Africa. Basically, okay? And they live in North Africa. But this is beyond the point. Evie said that she comes out of the shower with a towel on her head and her husband doesn't flip.
Because he comes from America. I'm talking about the ones that are... By the way, Berbers cut hair, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Listen, if that offends you, you don't need to be in this country.
What do you mean, Berbers?
Ma'am, I'm not offended. You don't seem to understand.
No.
Muslims are offended by you piling a towel on your head.
No, they're not. I have many friends that are Muslim. I have never heard such a ridiculous
statement
in my life.
Let me ask you a question. In front of how many men do you get out of a shower with a towel on your head?
Oh, my God. I don't get out of the shower with any man.
Well, then, ma'am,
you're talking... Muslim or not Muslim.
All right,
what are you talking about?
Is your husband Muslim?
Of course he is.
Then you get out of the shower with him, don't you?
Yes, but I'm not going to get out of the shower with a neighbor or a friend.
Well, then why
are
you telling me
about?
Well, first of all, you're telling me all these Muslims think this way. How would you know unless you get out of a shower with a towel on your head?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Let me tell you furthermore. If you're in America, you come here, you adopt to America.
Yeah,
you don't change America.
But what, your husband?
That? If you don't like it, you need to leave.
Hey,
whoever
your husband's
gets offended
gonna go with...
by a towel on the head needs to take back up the back and leave.
Your
this
husband
is America.
Is gonna go
we
looking
have
for
a
his
way of life. And you need to adapt to this country. When you come here, you learn the language, and you learn the traditions and the customs of this country.
I'm simply saying, don't be surprised if after seeing a towel on your head, your husband looks around for a good rate on a crop duster.
No, sir.
Okay,
no,
that's
sir.
Not that's
I
not necessary at all.
I don't know where you come from with that.
I'm just simply...
I know what you're trying to do. Thank you, Evie, for your call. A good rate on a crop duster. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Robert Greene, author of Keeping the Muslim in America Happy. The first thing you don't do is walk out of the shower with a towel on your head. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
Bob Greene is with me. He wrote the book Keeping the Muslim Happy in America, and the book basically purports to, you know, I mean, tell the story of how to not offend Muslims. One of them for women is not come out of the shower with a towel piled on your head. And you said here that the purpose of your book, Dr. Greene, will help Americans and Arabs and Muslims eat in the same restaurants, live on the street, and yes, eventually even date each other without fear that someone's going to get their underwear in a bunch. Does that sound like literate intelligent commentary?
I wrote it. I hope that it is. And if you're trying to say that I sound like some kind of a dumbass, I
didn't use that word, but if you want to, I mean, up here it says how not to bug Muslims. It doesn't sound like this was written by a man with an education.
Well, mister, now you're getting me angry. I wrote this book with the intention of trying to reach out to our Arab brothers and sisters and show all the other people how not to bug them.
By piling towels on our head when we're trying to shower, get out of a shower.
That's one way, yeah.
Here is Vincent on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Phil?
Yes, sir.
First of all, I was thinking about, I was just listening to him, and I'm glad you have this gentleman on your show. It's just going to show what an ignorant person he is, and that all the people that are listening to your show right now are going to think twice about even buying his book.
So you want to offend Muslims, is that it?
This book. Nobody wants to offend anybody.
Well, you sound like you're.
But I'm not going to write. I'm not going to have some uneducated nincompoop write a book on how not to offend everybody at every place and every time. This is United States. We are full of different people.
Yeah, but you got to understand something. We're going to be going to war with some of these guys that wear these turbans. You want to start getting them bugged too?
What are you talking about? These are terrorists. Like President Bush said, it's got nothing to do with Muslims, and it's got nothing to do with the Arab people. It has to do with terrorists.
I know that, but they wear the turban. Well, look, all I'm trying to say is this. A lot of these people don't like women. And if the women are running around with towels on their heads, looking like Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, what do you think that's going to do to our relationship with Saudi Arabia and places like that? Not too good, my friend.
They don't like women?
Yeah.
Their countries are getting overpopulated because they like women too much.
No, these guys, one of these hijackers said he hated women.
Well, look what he went and did. He went and blew himself up in a plane.
He's not Arab American. He's not a typical Muslim. He's a fanatic psychopath.
All right,
he's
a monster.
And if you want to write a book about how to get along with monsters, then you need to pack your bag.
That's right.
And take a flight and go back to your to where you came from.
Well, let me ask you something. So what if you walked out of the shower with a towel on your head that pissed somebody off? Is that your fault or the other guy's fault?
Him is going to walk out of the shower. What are you doing now, man? You're coming up with these goofy hypotheticals.
This is our country. If I want to walk out of the shower with a towel around my head, I'm going to do so. And if it does offend somebody, they say, you know what, that offends me, I'm going to say, hey, man, I didn't know. I'm sorry. Let me take it off. But I'm not going to sit here and live in fear because I'm offending anybody. This is America where you do things that this is the
first time. All right, so you walk out of your shower, you put a towel on your head, and the guy that you knew one day as Harry, the next day he's renting a crop duster. Why?
I hope a lot of people are listening to this so they can hear what a moron.
You're not going to sell one copy.
And when they see you in the street, I hope Muslim Americans, African Americans, Italian Americans like myself hit you with a stick.
Well, now that's
cool. Every time you walk by, and I hope that you can never sit in a restaurant and eat peacefully without getting your panties in a bunch.
Oh, you think that's funny?
Yes, I do.
I think it's funny.
I think it's very funny.
Look, we had American servicewomen in Saudi Arabia during the Gulf War getting out of their showers with towels on their heads. You think the Arabs like that?
They never said anything about it. I never heard one thing said about, hey, would you keep your servicewomen back in the shower with the towels?
Well, maybe they were being polite.
Do you think the Afghanistan people, the Afghanis, think that they really care about towels on women's heads? They're worried about their lives right now.
Absolutely.
All these monsters just destroyed all these innocent people that live in Afghanistan.
Absolutely.
And they're running for their lives with no food, no water. You think they care about a towel on their head?
Yes, I do.
Well, you're a
fruitcake.
Fruitcake. All right, listen, Vincent, thank you for your call. Here is Mohammed on the Phil Henry Show. Mohammed, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to let this guy know that what baloney is giving is trying to make money out of...
Baloney?
Yeah, that's baloney. No Muslim gets offended if a woman got a towel on her head. I don't know, you dumbass, where you get this information from.
When a woman puts a towel on her head out of a shower, you know, when she gets out of the shower...
That's a prerogative, whatever she wants to do, and no Muslim gets offended by that. So don't try to...
And you don't see the similarity between when a woman does that...
I don't see any similarity between that.
And this regular
as a matter of fact, I don't give a damn as to what woman put out there on the head when they come out from the shower. So it's nothing similar to that. I don't know where you get this information. You're misinformed.
Are you Muslim or are you Arab?
I'm a Muslim.
Well, you're not Arabic.
Huh? I'm not Arabic, but I'm Muslim.
Ah, okay. Well, that's the difference.
No, there's no difference.
What do you mean, the difference?
Let me clarify something to you. Arabs do not wear turbans, okay? Arabs do not wear turbans. Arabs wear a cloth.
No, but they wear towels.
They wear cloth over the head with something else to keep it on, but not a turban. Turbans are worn in the country of Pakistan.
They're
worn in Pakistan. They're worn in Afghanistan, but not in the Arab nations.
Okay, let me ask you something. What about Aladdin?
Huh?
What about Aladdin?
What do you mean, what about Aladdin?
What do you mean by Aladdin? We're talking about fairy tales?
Did he wear a turban?
We're talking about Cinderella right now, or what?
No, I'm talking about Aladdin. He had a turban.
Well, Aladdin
what are you
and Cinderella are the same things, okay?
So they're
all fairy tales.
So if
you don't know between a fairy tale and a realistic life thing, then you shouldn't be writing a book.
What are you telling me? Aladdin came from Arabia, he had a turban, so therefore that's historically accurate?
Well, what, are they going to put it up on the TV?
Yes, they'll put it on the TV and on the movie if it isn't true.
I want to be clear, what
kind of crap you're running over here, what kind of crap you're writing a book about.
Do not try to
profit from some tragedy which happened
in
America.
Let me ask you a question then.
Whoever did this tragedy in America is not a Muslim in the first place.
What about people that sit on carpets?
No Muslim will be offended by a woman coming out from a shower with a towel on her head.
And what about sitting on a carpet?
Sitting on a carpet? What do you mean by sitting on a carpet?
That doesn't offend you?
No. Why would offend me anything?
Don't you think Aladdin got pissed when his wife came out of the shower with a towel on?
Okay, look. You know.
You can go to L.
Yeah. Do you hear that?
Thank you.
What?
He said you can go to L.
The L? That's in Chicago.
All right. See you later. Schaefer, I noticed that you're leaving the show in a couple of weeks, and you're booking me the real solid guests, the real home run hitters. Now, you're dipping into your Rolodex and really going for those long balls. Thank you. Thank you very much. So you don't bug them. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
And by the way, on the Phil Hendry Show, I play the part not only of myself but of the guests that I have on. In fact, the voice of Robert Greene, Dr. Robert Greene, who was pitching the book Keeping Muslims in America Happy, that was being performed by me as well. And I did the voice of David Hall, who tried to commit suicide last hour. Okay, 1-800-449-8686 here on the Phil Hendry Show. I was just suddenly sitting here thinking about all those television and movie images of Arabs down through the years, and the one that Mike put up on the screen was, of course, I Dream of Jeannie. It all started there. I Dream of Jeannie. There was Alibaba and the 40 Thieves and the whole Aladdin bit and the flying carpet thing, but for most of us, mainstream America, in mainstream America's first view of the, quote, Arab, and Sinbad the Sailor, yeah. The view of the Arab was with I Dream of Jeannie. But the more lasting image that I had of Arabs was on those cartoons that would show the dog and the cat dressed in French Foreign Legion uniforms with machine guns and the Arabs slinking over the sand dunes like snakes. Because we've been doing battle in that part of the world for years. We haven't, but the... we have, as a matter of fact. Everybody likes to bring up that whole thing against the Barbary pirates, which we, that campaign conducted in the early part of the 19th century by President Jefferson, yada, yada, yada. And what that was, if you don't know specifically what that was, is that there was a long-standing practice on the part of all of the countries of Europe, and in fact, all of the countries of the world that navigated the northern coast of Africa, that they would pay tribute to the kings and sultans and swamis and all those clowns that lived along the north coast of Africa, known as the Barbary States, of which today we know them as Libya and Tunisia and places like that. Well, it was a long-standing practice to pay them tribute. If you didn't, then they would take your ships and hold your crew hostage, at which time you had to raise the ransom to get them out. And generally the ransom was going to be a lot more than the tribute, until finally... The United States balked. It wasn't that we didn't want to pay the tribute. It's that we didn't want the price to go up. See, we were perfectly willing to live with that state of affairs because the world was a different place. It was the early 19th century. We were a brand spanking new country. We really weren't about to go to war with anybody, I don't think. But what happened was they jacked the price on the tributes, and so Jefferson said, well, we're not paying it. We're not going to pay it, and that's all there is to it. We're not paying it. And sure enough, they boarded one of our ships, took it hostage, took the people hostage, and that's when the United States sent forces down there, among them the Marine Corps. So that when you hear the Marine song, and it goes from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, now you know it was the Marines that went into Tripoli, Libya, to free some people down there. The halls of Montezuma, I don't know anything about that. I don't know where that was. That might have something to do with just drinking in Mexico. That might have something simply to do with their bowels. I don't know what that is. 1-800-449-8686, the Phil Hendry Show here. And the latest news that we're getting is that, among other things, Northwest Airlines, which celebrated its 75th anniversary, is laying off its senior employees, gave them about 3 hours to clear their desks out, and they have to get the hell out. Boy, these airlines, they're getting it good. And I don't know whether they're up to playing, anybody's... We were going to go on a trip to New York later this month, and I got no problem with flying. I got no problem with flying to New York. The problem was we weren't ready to do a remote from New York. But I was very happy to get on a plane and fly to New York just to sit in an airplane that wasn't overcrowded for a change. Because if you're like me, and you don't like to fly on a crowded aircraft, Today's the day to get your tickets. Poll opposes women's suffrage. Listen to this. A female state senator says if women's suffrage were being voted on today, she would not support it because the 19th Amendment was the start of a decades-long erosion of family values. I'm an old-fashioned woman, said Senator Kay O'Connor. Men should take care of women, and if men were taking care of women, we wouldn't have to vote. Dolores Furtado, co-president of the Johnson County League of Women Voters, had asked the 59-year-old Republican to the league's Celebrate the Right to Vote luncheon, and O'Connor responded, "You probably wouldn't want me there because of what I would have to say." Furtado said she was shocked by O'Connor's view. As a state senator, Furtado said she is the beneficiary of a system she doesn't support, which, of course, makes perfect sense. O'Connor says she does vote, but she said she believes that if men had been protecting the best interests of women, then women would not be forced to cast ballots and serve in the legislature. Instead, they could stay home, raise families, tend to domestic duties, not put on a lot of weight, wear heels, be... Anyway. So how about that? What do you think about that, man? I think I agree 100%. I'm only kidding. What that really illustrates is the inexorable, it seems inexorable, I hope it isn't, but the slow de-evolution that society kind of takes every time somebody gets into some sort of a traditional family value, let's take it back to the way it used to be, old world religious value kind of a mindset, man. We're right now having to deal with this crap with the Islamic fundamentalists, these old school theocrats, these old school mullahs who want to get it back to the way that it used to be. And we got a whole bunch of people in America that want to get it back to the way it used to be. Things ain't getting better. They're getting worse with that kind of thinking. Although I don't mind the idea of our women, like wind up like Pakistan. They're all covered up. That'd be pretty good. Why not just cover them up, too? You know, Senator O'Connor, I don't know whether you noticed this or not, but you got a hell of a lot in common with these guys we're doing battle with right now. Don't let them vote. Let the guys carry, take care of them, cover them up head to toe. Don't let them show any butt. Don't let them show any breasts. Don't let them show any leg. Don't let them show any hair on their lip. If I don't get reelected, she said, my only punishment is to go home to my husband and my roses and my children and my grandchildren. That is, of course, if my husband can hold on to his job. If he doesn't, then I got to go back to work as a senator. And if the trips to Topeka get to be too much and my husband asks me to quit, I would. What does that mean, men taking care of the women better so that the women wouldn't have to vote? So in other words, the reason why the women are voting is because the men have screwed things up so bad. Well, okay. I bet you if only women were voting, you'd screw things up pretty good too. I think the only answer is to have both of us vote. I'm telling you, this is a snapshot of the way the world is tending, not because of permissiveness, but because of the overriding, sometimes insufferable, smothering influence of so-called traditional values. Number one, they're not values at all. They're just ways of behaving. These are not values. When you say old family values, well, what are you talking about? You're talking about mom staying home, dad going to work. What? That's not a value. That's a behavior pattern. Now, right over here in America, while we're having our debate over old school, old world, old traditional, whatever the hell you want to call it, over there in Arabia and Persia, they're having the same debate. And guess who's winning over there? Guess who's winning over there? I'll tell you who's winning over there, man. A bunch of cats that want to cover their women up, and they want to beat the women up, and they want to knock the women up, and just everything bad you want to do to a woman, those guys want to do it. And they're winning, man. They got all their crazy-ass people in the streets celebrating and pumping their fists and raising their banners. They got thousands of guys over there in Pakistan ready, willing, and able to join that bin Laden creep. Did you see that documentary on CNN in Afghanistan, the British photographer, the journalist? She made the Afghanistan documentary. She's I believe her people are from that part of the world. She was raised in Britain. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, it's astounding to think that we were so egotistical as a people, that Americans were so self-centered as a people, that we believed that our values or somehow our modern view of the world permeated the rest of the world, and that kind of thing just wasn't happening anymore. They absolutely want nothing whatsoever to do with us, our ball games, our Nintendo, our sushi, nothing, man. They want to cover the women up. They beat these women who had gone into the streets to protest and to demonstrate for their rights under the Taliban regime. What do you think happened? These guys had a counter demonstration, and being the men that they are, they chased the women down the street and beat them with sticks. It's the kind of guys we're dealing with. The hell kind of men can they? How formidable, really, can these kinds of guys be? How bright, how formidable can they be if they chase women down a street and beat them with sticks? I mean, they're scary, and they scream really loud. One of the things I know about these people is they yell really loud, and they pump their fists, and they set fire to a mean effigy, and they can fly themselves into buildings. They love death. They crave death. That's the whole thing. You'd be reading this stuff about these pamphlets that they give their guys. Crave death. Love death. Because it's going to be fantastic on the other side. I got news for you, man. It might not be that great. It might be a little too hot. Everybody hates death, fears death, but only those, the believers, who know the life after death and the reward after death would be the ones who will be seeking death. Letter allegedly penned by Mohammed Atta, found in his belongings after the terrorist attack. What if you guys are wrong, man, and you croak and you ain't got no seven virgins? You're cooking someplace. Here's Abraham on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yes, how you doing?
It's, hi.
First time caller, first time listener, too.
Yes, sir.
I was just listening to the previous guy that called. You had a real winner there.
Yeah, well, that was me doing the voice, Abraham, so don't worry about it.
Well,
you don't know what I mean, do you?
I'm sorry?
You don't know what I mean, do you?
I really didn't catch it well because I had it. Yeah.
The guy that was on, the guy that was on, the real winner that was on, the guy talking about how to keep Muslims happy.
Oh, okay.
That guy you're talking about?
Yeah, because I caught it at the end.
Okay, that was me.
Oh, that was you?
Yes, sir.
No, the whole Aladdin bit and...
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, that was
you? Yes, sir.
I caught it at the end, so
okay,
I'm
there
sorry
you go.
If I...
Well, go ahead. What can we do for you?
Well, my comment was that this whole issue of the Middle East, I think it's very, very complex. And if people try to sum it up and probably won't get the whole picture, probably until you get all the talk show hosts, constructive criticism, and all the and whatever the government is saying towards peace in the Middle East.
I don't want peace in the Middle East.
Well,
I'm not looking for any peace. I'm looking for payback in the Middle East. I think that's what we need to call it now.
Well, that's a priority right now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm. I'm going for that right now too. That's my opinion. Plenty of other Americans too. I just don't understand these guys that are the pacifiers, the peacemakers that are out there right now.
I don't know. It's probably something in the water. It must be biological warfare. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Chris. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, Phil. First of all, I just want to say, man, your show is awesome, dude.
Thank you.
The stint that you did, the couple weeks after the incident was just great.
The what?
The stint that you did the couple weeks after the incident was excellent.
Thanks.
I just want to say that lady absolutely has no representation of the general state of mind in Kansas.
Who, the lady O'Connor here?
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Although it generally does come from, I shouldn't say that because... there's all kinds of rubes, no matter what state you live in.
Yeah, I know. I don't want people to think that we're
this
like
is kind
a bunch of...
You know what this is? Yeah, there was an old... You're probably too young to remember. There was a musical called State Fair. And, you know, you get the rhubarb pie and you go out to the State Fair with your men folk. Yeah, this is what it reminds me of.
Yeah, and, I mean, it's not all like that here, man. So I just don't want people across America to think that.
Well, I'm coming to Kansas City then.
Right on, brother.
All right, thanks for calling.
Later.
Goodbye. Okay, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back with more on The Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. That guy just went off the line, too. I went out to talk to that dork. Some cat calling up asking, how come if everybody understands the terrorists, they didn't nobody want to understand McVeigh? I understood McVeigh. I understand the terrorists. There's nothing I don't get. I got it all down. I'm fine. What's to get? Both of them were nuts and are nuts and need a bullet. McVeigh got his bullet. Bin Laden has yet to receive his. Boy, this thing in Afghanistan, did you see this clip? The women are walking around like they got sheets over their heads. You know how you used to play Ghost as a kid? You'd put a sheet over and you couldn't see? They're walking around with sheets over their heads like ghosts. You know what we need to do? We need to take a lesson from the Russians, the Soviet Union, back in the 50s and 60s. They armed guerrillas. They put money and weapons into arming guerrilla insurgent armies. They didn't put their own guys in there. The United States, we finally got that message with the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. We can still do that. That Northern Alliance, they got plenty of guys ready, willing, and able, man. And they're ready, willing, and able to do it all. And that means go and get Bin Laden, too. That's where, if you want to start talking about a military presence around the world, let's start putting some of those guys on the street. 1-800-449-8... I don't know what call you want me to go to here. I got three of them. One? Ray, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, what I'm wondering is why they haven't acted sooner and... Also, back in 92, Bin Laden was involved in the first World Trade Center bombing. Why didn't they start a war and go after that? Did they not kill enough people?
Who's that?
Bin Laden. They back in 92...
I guess they screwed up, man. They must have just... You know what? 92, it must have been Clinton. He must have been a real asshole. I don't know. Why didn't they? Everybody with the Monday morning quarterback. I guess they didn't because, yeah, I guess they didn't kill enough people. AJ, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? You there? No, he ain't there. Frankie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's Frankie.
Right, I got it.
Yeah.
What can I do for you?
Yeah, is Phil there?
I'm right here.
Oh, Phil. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about something.
You got your radio turned up?
I'm not sure, but I just wanted to...
Well, turn it off if you do, all right?
I think it is off.
Okay.
I got a big backyard, kind of like a farm kind of thing.
No problem.
Yeah, guy, you're really doing a great job. I don't want to say you're missing a few points, because you're not. You're covering kind of everything that there is to cover. My God.
Well, thanks for calling, Frankie. It's been great knowing you. Mike, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Mike.
Got it. How you been?
Good, Phil. Listen, I'm a long-time listener.
You want a speakerphone there, Mike?
No, sir. I'm on the Nextel. It's probably a bad connection.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm a long-time listener from back at Fort Lauderdale, back before you gave us the ability to know who was talking on the radio, which I think is pretty nice of you nowadays. I just wanted to mention that, I live in a really small town on the northeast of in Maryland, along the shore. And I came into my local convenience store 2 days ago, and I noticed that the ownership had changed hands. And I walked in there, and I was kind of stunned at
who owned the store.
Well, prior to
no, who owned the store when you walked in?
It was a
Arab.
Yes, sir.
Oh, there now, you go. And you're upset with that, and you want more white people owning 7-Elevens.
No, it's not necessarily that. To be quite honest with you, it was kind of astounding to me because
I don't know what it is. People can't seem to get their call out today, and that's fine. I'll tell you what, call back tomorrow and get the second half of your call out because we're out of time. 1-800-449-8686. We're out of time this hour. The Phil Hendry Show.